You ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
Super. We're going to read from Genesis. Terah took his son Abraham, his daughter-in-law Sarai, and his grandson Lot, which was his son Haran's child. And they left Ur of the Chaldees to go to the land of Canaan. But they stopped instead at the village of Haran and settled there. Terah lived for 205 years and died while he was still in Haran. Then the Lord told Abraham, leave your country, your relatives, and your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. I'll make you a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. Now, I want to try and put some facts into this to help us understand the story, because I think we can learn a lot by this. In Genesis 11, it says that Terah, Abraham's dad, left Ur of the Chaldees, which we can see here on the right bottom, and he set off to go to the land of Canaan, which God had told him to go to. A journey of 975 miles, which today you say, oh, you get a bus, you go on a train. But no, they are walking or riding camels or donkeys or whatever. And so, in a quite hot country, that's quite an arduous journey. But they stopped at Haran, which is at the top there. That is 600 miles into his journey. So he stopped 370 miles short of where God had told him to go to. Now, the point about that is, when he stopped there, he stopped there. He settled there. And actually, he died there. When he died where he settled. He didn't make it to the destination because he chose to settle on the route. And boy, didn't he settle. See, I know that because the start of the next chapter, Abraham was told by God to leave the land where they were in Haran and go to the land where he was shown. And he said to Abraham, leave your country, so that's become their country, your relatives, so there's loads of relatives, and your father's house. That tells me Terah, Abraham's dad, settled there so much he put roots down. He probably purchased or took over and owned land and built houses, and his relatives increased in number, because it tells us the other person that he took with him was his nephew. There are other relatives that probably were left way behind, they didn't want to go. So he actually really, really settles in the place called Haran, and he had no, from that I think, he had no intention of going extra 375 miles to get where God had told him. Because if he did, he probably would have just lived in a tent, or he probably would have just been there for a short while. But he just stayed put. He settled, he put down his roots. And then Abraham was told, after he died, to go and complete the journey that his dad had started with the whole family. And we're told that he was 75 when he set out to do that, and he looked and left. Which, considering that his dad had lived to about 205, was it? I kind of put that, my maths isn't brilliant, but I kind of put that into like a lifespan of around about 80 years now. So that would equate Abraham to be in his mid-20s. He said, right, your dad's died. I'm telling you, you've got to pick up the next leg of the journey, because I can't change my mind. The destination is still going to Canaan. You get up, boy. You take your relative Lot with you and your wife, and you pack up and you go. And that's exactly what he did. Don't mind me when I read scripture. I kind of ask myself some questions. And I'm asking myself the big question. Why did Terah, Abraham's dad, not complete the journey? Why did he got two-thirds almost there? For goodness sake, guy, you've done a load of it. Just complete what God told you. And maybe it was because when he reached Haran, which is very similar to the rape of his dead son before we left. As his son died, and then God told him to leave that land and go to Canaan. Maybe when he reached Haran, it reminded him of his son. Maybe he wanted to just stop and think about his dead son. Maybe he just had a time that he wanted to reevaluate or reminisce. I don't know. We can only guess. But what I do know, whatever the reason was, why he decided to stay an extra night, and then an extra week, then an extra month, then an extra year, we know that he did that and he settled and he did not do what God told him to do. And I think we can learn a lot from this account. And it beautifully mixed in, if you were here when Big Hughes came to speak, he was talking about taking a
step.
When Andrew spoke a couple of weeks ago, he was, what was the title of his sermon?
Journeying
well. And as I sat there, hold on, Rachel, I remind your brother this is me, exactly. You won't get any brownie points in there, but never mind, it's fine. And as those two guys preached, I thought to myself, you don't know what God has already told me to preach about this week and how it absolutely fits in. But seeing as God's in charge of his church, that shouldn't surprise us, should it really? So we're going to look, and the title of my sermon today is Pioneers, Not Settlers. You see, God is a missional, sending, go kind of person, right? He sends his prophets to the nations to try and get them back in relationship with him. When that didn't work, he sent his own son into our world to pioneer a way back to God that we can be forgiven of our sins and have a relationship with God. And then Jesus, because he was God, was doing the same. He sent out his disciples, and he also sent us out too in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we learned many months ago that we are made in God's image. So if God is a sending, go, missional person, and we're made in his image, guess what? We are made to go, to be on mission, and not to settle. We are meant to take his life and message to the world that we live in. We are not settlers. We are sent. We are commanded to go. Do you know what? Even when we arrive at the place that God has told us to go to, there is another journey to embark and start on. That's why God told us to call this church Horizon. He wants us to journey to where he shows us on the horizon that we can see, that's in front of us. But when we get there, not to settle, not to kind of put our roots down and say, good, we've made it, fantastic, we're nice and comfortable here, we're going to settle here. No, God says, lift up your eyes, I'm showing you another horizon, pack up, move on. Clues in the name. Horizon. Now, some of you have joined Horizon since we founded it. So you might not even know why God called it Horizon or why it happened in the first place. But there were two main things when God said to Dave and I, go and set up this church. Two main things that God was wanting about this church, characteristics of this church. One was personal and one was collective as a group of people. The first one was personal. It was on about personal discipleship. And the phrase he gave us was disciple to Christ, not disciple to the church. Right? Good. Now you think, well, now what's the difference? I'll tell you what the difference is. You look to God for him guiding you, leading you, the source of your joy, the source of your peace, the source of spiritual input and energy, and that's your primary source. Then you get extra bonuses on a Sunday when you come and you're in the worship and you've got a sermon that kind of speaks to you. You know, the best thing about a sermon is that what is preached about is confirming what God is already telling you. Now, some of us don't listen too well, or don't even open our Bibles or talk to God about it. So sometimes you use the sermon to say, oh, go, listen. And you kind of, oh, I better talk to God about this. But the best way is for us to have a personal relationship with God, and he is talking to us, he is guiding us, he is leading us, and we take responsibility for our own spiritual walk, not looking to programs or church structure or leadership to instruct and direct our paths, but for each believer to take personal responsibility for their own journey with God. How much and to what level have we settled in horizon? Because some of us had to keep our eyes really close on God to start this place. But now we're here, and now we have a building, and now we're doing this great community work. How much time do we hang out with God between Sunday and life groups? Have we been a bit settly in taking responsibility for our own personal relationship with God, or are we just settled into a comfortable place? Well, Dave will bring the word on Sunday, or Jill will, or the worship will speak to me. We need to be careful that we don't settle. And the second thing that God gave us a value as a church was to do church differently. Always moving, changing, and not settling. Finances to be based on what God tells us to do, believe Him to provide, not what's in the bank. We ask God what He wants us to do this year, we find out how much that's going to cost, we work out how much we expect to get in, and the shortfall is our faith target, which we'll be letting you know all that is coming here very soon. But that's the way we do differently. Lots of churches go, well, we'd like to do this. Bank balance says, we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be strained by what we have and what we can see. We want to be walking in faith and doing stuff. So that's the two values: personal discipleship and a church that is doing church differently, always on the move. Let me say, church, the biggest danger for us, personally and for Horizon, is that we get used to where we are now and we settle. We become satisfied where we are and what we're doing and what we're achieving, and it feels good and it feels comfortable. Now, let's forget about moving on. Yeah, we're doing some good stuff in the community. Surely God's pleased enough with that. Well, He is dead short. Actually, we lift our eyes up, there's another horizon that He wants us to see to go forward. And the weird thing is, it's possible to be comfortable with the things that made you uncomfortable before. It's possible to become comfortable with the things that made you uncomfortable before. Let me give you an example. Dave and myself had the experience of setting up Horizon, so we had to leave somewhere else. And we left a salaried position to set up a Horizon with no prospect of salary. That was uncomfortably exciting. You know, I'm a little scared to death. Well, just God said, go do. Don't ask questions why, just go do. And we left a church where they had thousands of pounds in the bank, to a church where we didn't even have a bank account. And you're like, whoa, this is weird. And so, because God was calling us, we kind of kept in touch with Him, and He kept saying, do this, we did that, then He did that. Do this, we did it, He did that. And suddenly we're like, hey, this is working. We're doing what God tells us to do. And the scary became exciting, and that became the norm. But if you're not careful, that norm becomes comfortable. So you think, right, I've done that big move, we've done that big faith challenge, whatever. It's okay. We're living like that. That's fine. We've arrived. No, we haven't arrived. Not if we are a pioneering people and we're not a settling people. Becoming comfortable and satisfied leads to settling, resting, and staying. And God wants us to keep journeying to where we're next supposed to arrive. And to be honest, personally, I've had to struggle with this over the last few months. I'm like, well, it's okay, it's good, but were you coming in? Because there was some money last year, and yeah. And we kind of, you know, you still have to live by faith, because you set our faith with you. That's comfortable, God's going, no, that's settled. Because you're just expecting the same thing at the same time. And I'm like, okay. And God's been challenging me recently about not settling, but being the pioneer that is designed that those who ought to be because we're made in the image of God. And we're a part of the church where the clue is in the main horizon and there's always another destination to move on to. And there's 2 points I want to make about us. Firstly, horizon cannot settle for less. It cannot become the churches that we left. It can't become that. This is a tough call for Christians, as Christian history is littered with churches, movements, and people who started off as a pioneer and then ended up as settlers, never making the final destinations that God wanted them to have. And this is the main reason that we have so many denominations today. You know, kind of flames of churches, streams of churches. This is one of the main reasons. As the Holy Spirit revealed truth to people and they journeyed their church or themselves towards what God wants the church to be, they embraced the truth that God had given them and they changed. But then they settled just for that truth and refused to embrace further change. Let me just give you a quick, very potted history of the Christian church. We spoke about it before. Martin Luther, he pioneered the salvation by faith and not by religious observance and good works. And we know that from that the Bible was translated into English so everyone could read it. Now the Catholics got upset about that, so that's why there's the Protestant movement, because they're like, no, this is the truth of God's word, we've got to move into this truth. No, we don't like that. So they were forced to then set up their own church. And then people in that church, they've got the Bible, they're reading in English, and they're going like, hey, in the Bible it talks about full immersion in water when you believe in baptism, not sprinkling of vapors on their foreheads when they don't know what's going on. Whoa, probably ought to be baptized then, full immersion, just like Jesus was, that John the Baptist was doing. And the Protestants, so they said, well, I'm sorry, but that's in scriptures, we've got to go do it. So what denomination came out of that?
Baptist.
And they're Baptists. So they got baptizing people, fantastic, enjoying that, they got pioneering that, you know, getting a bit of scrap for it, but they did it. And then, within their ranks, there was people like the Wesley Brothers, and they were about personal salvation and prayer and Bible study and holiness, and they had to set up another movement. In fact, David, if you were proud of me, he's making a potted history. And because some of these people did all this stuff, we were saved from a revolution that was happening in France at the same time. God had swept through our nation, and because of these guys and the holiness movement and personal relationship with God, emphasis on that, and the revival that broke out in this nation, we were spared a revolution like they had in France all those years ago. So they set up. And they were doing their stuff independently because others didn't want them. And then one of their people, a minister called William Booth, who was an independent Methodist minister, he said, well, hang on a minute here. We can't keep all this to ourselves. We need to go out and tell people about Jesus and let's use some of those modern pop songs and put some scripture sort of words to them and go by singing them. No, they're using secular tunes, that's not true. So he left. What did he set up? The Salvation Army. All these things are still going today. So they did that, then evangelism and social action, fantastic. And then people started to read the Bible and get close to God, and then somebody thought, hang on, Acts chapter 2, being filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus promised that to them. Why not we? Being filled with the Holy Spirit and exercising spiritual gifts and speaking in tongues and seeing all of the fruit. Why are we doing that? And so they got together to pray about it, and the Holy Spirit came and started speaking in tongues, and the Pentecostal movement was born. But people didn't like that. So I've spoken to people who got literally chucked out of their church because they believed in the baptism and the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit that was for today. Because they would say, no, that was the New Testament time, it's not for now. You try living your Christian life without the Holy Spirit, you'll know it's for now. You need Him. So they were thrown out, and AOG and the denomination that we are in, and another Pentecostal denomination called Eden were born over here in the UK. Since then, there have been many different streams of churches trying to be more like the church in Acts, New Frontiers, Salt Light Ministries, ICFAS, Pioneer Network, restoring the role of women in church leadership. see three churches with an emphasis on planting new churches. By and large, new forms of church are often based on a revelational emphasis on truth in Scripture, but all of them had to leave their existing form of church and set up a new church because of the resistance to change from the church they were already in, which ironically had been settled for the same reasons. But the Holy Spirit is continuing to do what Jesus promised and help Jesus out. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against me. And the truth of Scripture I'm going to keep revealing until Jesus comes back, because he wants a church that he died to start. And he wants it living in all its truth, all its power. It doesn't want it hamstrung. It doesn't want it bound up. It wants it in its fullness. But people have this truth and they get all excited about it. They start off on that journey. They're living in that truth. And then they get comfortable with that truth. And when somebody comes along and says, actually, I've been reading Scripture, and there's an extra truth, there's another truth, they go, oh, no. They're because they become a settler and comfortable with what they know, with what they experience. And I kind of appreciate where they're coming from, really, because if a lot of them had to fight a hard battle and go through costly and difficult times to follow what God was telling them, and they then called that place, that new revelation, home. And then to accept further change from somebody else that you, a truth that you haven't seen for yourself. Do you think that could be quite difficult, wouldn't it? But, you know, I can imagine a little start a person coming to a pastor's office and saying, actually, there's this truth here that God's been talking to me about. Now look, son, if you know what it costs us to get to this point, then, you know, just, we're here. Don't try and start the journey. But thankfully, people have started the journey of believing and obeying what God told them. And like I said, this is how Horizon started. But Horizon, we cannot allow ourselves, and whatever I am in the leadership team, the pastor of this church, we will not be allowing ourselves to settle and repeat history. I don't know how many of you are pleased about that. That's probably why you joined in the first place. So this is an unsettling sermon, okay? We've got to keep following God's direction. If you think it's okay here and it's fine here, lovely, I'm glad you do. But we're not settling here. I'm not talking about geographically, I'm talking about the journey that God has set his church on course for. But also, secondly, I think the other point is the other danger is that we personally can't settle for less in our discipleship with God. You know? God clearly told us, and this is part of the reason I've set up Horizon, was that personal, intentional relationship with God was our responsibility, and then collectively as a church, we're moving in the same direction. You know, I've had people say to me, oh, disciple to Christ, not the church. Aren't you afraid they're just going to kind of go like, well, I'm not coming to church, or I'm not giving to church, or I'm not serving in church. Why? Do you not read your Bible? If we're following the example of Jesus, and he paid the ultimate price by laying down his life for the church, if we're following him, that's exactly what he's going to ask us to do. So where's the problem? I'll tell you what the problem is. There's no control over people. We're asking them to plug into God and rely on the Holy Spirit to make them get the same message and see the same vision and collectively go, I think I'm doing a lot of church leadership and go in that direction. Do you see the difference? Yeah. And we need to be careful that our relationship with God doesn't settle into anything less than a personal, vibrant relationship that we take responsibility for and we are disciples to Christ. And we're not settling into Sunday sermons and, well, the life group was good this week, or, oh, I've got a problem, so I'll find out somebody who I know's got a bit of wisdom and I'm going to speak to them. Do you know what? I think I'm going to just have this inspiration, but I shall come. If you come to me and ask me for advice, I think I'm going to ask you one question. Have you spoken to God? What do you say about it? Because then you're not relying on me. I mean, I never tell anyone what to do. I just kind of give a bit of truth and whatever, and keep off their own course. But do you know what? I think that's what I'm going to do. So don't be put off by coming to me. Just make sure you've gone and spoke to God first, okay? And I'd ask every life group leader to adopt that. That would be really good. Now, I was at a conference a couple of weeks ago and had a real hint. And the guy said a couple of things. The first one I found out, oh, that's true. And then the second one I thought, ouch. He said, the level of our discipleship will be determined by the depth of our love for Jesus. The level of our discipleship will be determined by the depth of love, of our love for Jesus. You see, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. So I can get that. We agree with that statement, yeah? Then he asked, there needs to be more in love with Jesus. That's great. If we love Jesus, we will obey him. Then he said something that I'm like, oh my word, you have to go and do that. Then he said, the longer we are Christians, the less we love Jesus. Oh my mind, that's a heresy. I mean, wait a minute. The longer we are Christians, the less we love Jesus. I'm like, no. Surely, the longer we are Christians, the more we love Jesus. Really? Is that right? The answer is no, not always. Because we settle. We settle for like, oh yeah, I know, no. That's cool. It's only true is as long as we know Jesus, we are getting to know him more and have not settled into doing church and relating to him through others. Do you know what? Your closeness to God is not dependent on how long you have known him. I know there are some relatively new believers that are probably more passionately connected in love with Jesus than people that have been saved, a Christian, a disciple of Jesus for many years. Just have to think about your own life for a moment. Have I been a closer follower of Jesus before now where I am? Or is this, I've got here, I'm going to go further, but this is where, this is exciting, this is the best I've ever been. But I don't know about you, but the business of life kind of crowds out your Bible reading, or your prayer time, or when you get kind of down, you flip on the telly, rather than putting on worship music. And sometimes we can find ourselves just slipping back into comfortable religion. We don't do religion in this church. We do relationship with Jesus Christ. Relationships take work. I've been married for 37 years at the end of this month. Relationship takes work.
Yes.
You know, I'm married to it. Yeah, he's had a lot to put up with me as well. You can't just say, okay, yeah, I do the altar, sit back in the cozy, comfy chair of marriage. No, you can't do that. It takes effort. It's something you've got to progress, it's something you've got to deepen, it's something you've got to put time and effort and trust into. So why do we expect anything less than our relationship with Jesus? So don't settle for anything less. Our church is not going to settle for anything less than being a pioneering church. Not the label, but a pioneering church. And we are, as disciples, I'm challenging you, don't be suffering for less in your spiritual life. Because do you know what? There's one thing I've learned is, if you are being discipled to the church, through the church, and not Christ, it gets pretty hard work and boring. So, when you start getting discipled to God, he tells you to do outrageous things. And he gives you the confirmation, and then you do it, and you feel like, yes! And you see the results, and you can go on to the next one. If you want an exciting life, make sure you're discipled to Christ and do exactly what he says. Now, I've got five reasons that I think we could settle, make us settle. I'm going to whip through, they're not very long. But I think if we can see these five reasons, then we can say, okay, yeah, I see a dangerous spot there, I might be settling. So I'm not going to settle, I'm actually going to move on. So here we go, point one. Reasons for settling. New becomes comfortable, which then makes you risk averse. So you like where you live, where you got to, and you don't want to change and risk losing it. Question. When was the last time God challenged you to do something that really took you out of your comfort zone? If you haven't thought of it by now, I'd like to challenge you, say, it wasn't all that recent. Right? I'm not saying go and do something stupid. I'm saying go to God and say, hang on, if I've got a living, vibrant relationship with you, then you should be taking me on a journey. And a journey often means breaking new ground, losing an idea. And why am I hearing from you? Why are you challenging me? Probably because we're not speaking to him, but we're listening or whatever. Second one. We like the place where we are rather than the journey ahead with all its dangers, unknowns, and the effects, or the effort, sorry, of making that journey. We've made a big journey, and now we feel safe. Okay? It's new, and it was new when we first got there, but now we've kind of been there for a bit, we're living that for a bit, and like I said before, doing outrageous things like we did to set this place up becomes like normal. And this place feels safe now to me. Living like we do feels safe to me. But there's a time for us to step out from our own security and do things that scare us. You see, you feel safe now, but actually, if you stepped out and did what God told you to do, God's there too. And He will look after you. Didn't you just do it? And you will still feel safe there, and you'll feel excited there too. Thirdly, growing older can mean you lose some of the sense of drive, determination, dissatisfaction, and thirst for adventure. When we start using terms like maturity, consolidation, maintenance, wisdom, achievement, reward. You're talking secular language, not pioneer language. You know, well, you know, I've got there and I've done this and I've learned a lot on the journey and it's a great idea. Settling kind of mentalities begin to get into your head. Now, if you want some good holiday reading, I recommend this book. It's called Dirty Glory by Pete Gregg. And this is a direct quote from what he says. Most people pioneer at least once in their lives, often when they are young and idealistic, not always. They start businesses, start a band, start a family, move to another town or country. But gradually, the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth constrain the blood rush of youth. We tame the wild and call it wise. And if we're not careful, before we know it, we find ourselves looking back on a particular year of program or a conference as the spiritual highlight of our lives. We shake our heads in amusement at the youthful naivety of it all. We tell stories again and again and reminisce about the unbridled passions and ambitions that once fired our souls. Isn't that so true? You read his book. He's a guy that started off a 24/7 friend of mine. And he has been through this himself. And you might think, well, you know, it's all over the world now. People are praying like they've never before. Job done. And that's what he was tempted to do. Settle for that. And then God instructed him, no, more, Pete, more. Don't be a settler, be a pioneer. Now, many of you know I turned 60 this week. I was supposed to say you don't look, but you missed that opportunity. Thank you for all those who sent me cards and gifts and stuff like that, and I really, really appreciate that. But, you know, turning 60, I've had to realise, and it isn't just turning 60, but over the last 2 or 3 years, I'm like, do you know what? I have to realise and admit, for me, it's just really hard. I don't have the energy or drive I had 10 years ago. Now some of you are thinking, thank goodness I didn't know it. But I was worse then. All those that were in favour? Yeah, definitely right. 10 years ago. And I don't have that same energy and drive. But you know what? I have decided that that's no excuse for settling. I've given up my inter-church leadership roles of several charities in this area, so I can use the energy I still possess in my first priority calling, which is my family and my church. Now, I have decided I couldn't come to that conclusion with God. I was kind of like struggling with keeping. Somebody just said to me, how did you keep all these balls in the air? Because I was involved in it. And I just thought, oh, like, you're talking about it's very easy to do, isn't it? Now I'm like, no, I'm just wrong. You know, I'm like, no. I said to God, right, I need to do what I am called to do. And I'm going to drop some of these inter-church stuff. And hey, what? You know, guess what? One more to go. The chair of the street pastor's board, I've got my last chair meeting of that in a couple of weeks' time. Don't know if they've chosen a chair yet, took them out. But all the other stuff, my sort of school's work and other people, when I got, guess what? Somebody popped up and did what? What I from my field. So I decided that I'm going to keep my energy focused on what God has called me to do and on my family call. I now know that I cannot do all the other things, but it's not going to stop me by doing what I am mainly called to do. And they do say, I've heard leadership books, that some people get the lovely experience as they get older to use all their wisdom and experience they've learned all through their lives in a leadership capacity to be like a laser beam. A laser beam is not big and wide, but it's small and pinpoints. And sometimes God allows people, and I'm trusting that's going to be me, that they can take all of my experience and laser beam it so it's going to be more effective. And that's what I'm going to be doing. So I'm with you guys. Getting older does make me want to settle. But I'm sorry, if you're in the cycle of Christ, up and off, move forward. It's melting people are saying yes, I think. Right, the next one is easy to pioneer the first time when you don't know what it's going to cost you. You're like, yes, this is what I love to do. Like, then you hit the price tag and you're like, I didn't realise this. I'll give you a secret. When God told us to start Horizon, He did let us know a little bit of the price. And we had a meeting with someone, and they were praying with us, and we were kind of just telling them what God was saying to us and where it might end. And they very nicely had a picture from God for us, which is fantastic, it's encouraging. But it wasn't. It was, I've just seen Dave, picture of Dave with his one arm ripped off. My first thought, sinner that I am, thank goodness it wasn't me in the picture. But from that we went like, okay, we need to think about and talk about this. And we'd already set out a list of things that taking the next step we would be prepared to pay, things that we weren't prepared to pay. So we were prepared to lose our job, lose our house if we had to, not have a car, but we weren't prepared to lose our marriage or our children's faith and relationship was when there were several things that we said we wouldn't. This picture came up and we're like, well, those things on that list are going to go there. One of them was Dave's health. So when it started affecting Dave's health, and he was off work, never been off work like that ever before, we knew that this was a big time, this was part of the paper. Because we had that warning from God, and we said, yes, we're prepared to pay this. And we said, okay, it's better than Dave's health, we now have to do something about it. Then we were able to carry on doing what God told us to do. But even though we knew that we were going to have some hassle, we didn't really fully understand the total cost. And so sometimes when you've been through something really hard to pioneer to get there, you're tempted to not strike out again and take new ground because you knew what it cost you the last time we told you to do something. And you think, yes, I've got it in me to do that again. Can I pay that price? It might be a different price. But that's kind of being uncomfortable. If you are tempted to be like that, to say, tough getting here, don't fancy another tough getting there, then I want to challenge you. If that's the way you're thinking, whenever you get tempted not to strike out again to take new ground, just turn around to see where you've come from, and then look around you and see what's in your world now, and then tell me that journey wasn't worth it.
And if that journey was worth it, you had to go through all of that to get here, which is great and exciting. And if God's asking you to strike out again and pay the price, guess what? When you get here, you look back to where you were there, you would say, it was worth it. It might not think in your head, if you think, oh no, it's going to cost me, cost me, cost me. God only has the best pathway for our lives. It says that in Psalms. He leads us down the best pathway for our lives. He isn't doing it to make your life uncomfortable and miserable because it gives him a kick. No, he's doing it to make you a pioneer, not a settler, because he knows the grass is greener there. There's a more spacious place there. It's exciting there. What people are going to know God there, so don't settle here. Yeah? Finally, things change when we reach the destination that we've set our eyes on. We can arrive at where God has led us to, but then lose the intimacy with God you enjoyed on the journey. So, Dave and I, when we set out a horizon, to establish a horizon, we needed to be so close to God because we knew cost was coming, we knew finances weren't there. Mike, your prayer life and your Bible reading are having like, what's his energy? What's his energy? And you rely on miracles. I remember food vouchers being pushed through our door that we were able to then go shopping for that week. And you're like, God, thank you very much, this is Andy, whatever. And you're really kind of close to him. And when we get there and things kind of change or you feel comfortable with where you're at and all that living in faith stuff, then you don't need to rely on that intimate relationship with God so much, do you? If you know where your next meal's coming from, or you can make your sanctuaries, then you kind of like don't have to talk to God about that. And therefore, the really cutting edge intimacy with God, if we're not careful, when we reach our destination, we can lose that and just settle for being normal Christians. God help us never to be normal Christians. We've got to be disciples of Christ that are moving forward. And do you know, we're all tempted to settle, aren't we? Anybody got any really pioneer people that are just always on the move? But most of them. Great slam after it, you're going to be a right diamond. That's fantastic. But most of us have experienced the desire to settle, but God does not want us to settle. And what we can learn by the journey that He keeps moving us on is that when He moves us on the next journey to take up a new direction or a new piece of ground in our lives or inhabit a new territory, a level of faith or whatever in our lives, He knows that to do that, we need to be more dependent on Him, because we can't do it ourselves. And may I suggest to you, that is the core reason that God wants us to carry on journeying. Because He wants us to be intimately connected with Him, and talking to Him, and relying on Him, because that's why He sent Jesus, that's why He made Adam and Eve in the first place, to have that vibrant relationship. And sometimes He unsettles us from our settled position, because we need to look into Him more, in order to restore that vibrant relationship we had back here when we were in the middle of being unsettled to move where we're going to. Do you get that? Yeah. And that, rather than where we're going to and what we do, that bit about intimately connected with God all the time, that is the reason He wants us on journey, because He wants to be that close to us. And we, because we are humans and we tend to settle, once we've settled and we've got there, kind of God, the volume on God goes down a bit and we get used to this place, we don't quite need to rely on Him as much. We've got to learn to have that relationship with Him all the time to keep us in that superb, intimate relationship. Being with God rather than doing with God. And I think that's the destination. So for me, the close relationship with God that unsettled me, us to move, establish horizon, total reliance on His provision and miracles and stuff, is the one thing I need to keep up front in my life.
that same standard of relationship. Abram's dad settled, and he became a settler rather than a pioneer. And he made a stop, but he settled. The tragedy is, where he settled, he died. And I want to put it to you that we need to be careful that we don't settle, because that will lead to spiritual death. Certainly spiritual unhealthiness and numbness, but to keep moving with God will make us spiritually alive. So let's keep pioneering with integrity in all of our lives, not selling out or burning out or settling down, but running the race that God has marked out for us, running it well and finishing it well. Yeah? Well, this was a comfortable sermon, wasn't it? Let's go home and ask somebody not to go. This is unsettling. But you know, God has to unsettle us sometimes to get us moving forwards. So we're going to have an application now. I don't want to bow your heads and pray. We are family. We don't do private business in that sort of sense. So I want to know, who's been challenged? Some area of your life, you're sitting there, God's already saying to you, you have settled, and now God is unsettling you. Maybe it's a level that you've served in. Maybe it's a level of giving. Maybe it's a level of intimacy within time spent. I don't know what it is, but already, God has already gone, oi, move out, get that tent up, start walking. And he's asking you to strike out again and be a pioneer in that area. Maybe it's your discipleship. Maybe it's a ministry or a relationship even, praying for people. And you're saying, yep, I recognise I'm settling in that area, I want to be a pioneer. Just as we sit here, put your hand in the air if that's you. I'm going to pray for this in a minute. Great, put your hands down. Father, I thank you for this miracle that you are unsettling to move them forward. I want to pray that you'll confirm to them what decisions they're going to make and how they're going to make the changes and how they're going to step out. I want to pray you'll protect them, Lord. I want to pray that you would surprise them by your looking after them, by you protecting them, by you giving them experience of great things that are going to happen to them. God, I do pray you make them aware of the negative force of Satan that was got them to speak supposedly sense or common sense or fear about, well, you know, that is a bit risky. God, I pray in Jesus' name that we'll all be able to know in our spirits what is a Holy Spirit and what is Satan trying to stop us from moving now. And I pray for a power and an authority and anointing to come on these people that have decided they're going to move out from being that settler position to the pioneer to make advancement in this particular area of their lives. I pray, God, for your power to be in them. I pray for a new depth of relationship with you than they've ever known before, that inspires them, that excites them, and I dare to pray, God, that it will be contagious in our church, in their life groups. God, save people because of the decisions we've made today to strike out again. God, bring healing to people, bring answers to this community by what you've just asked us to move, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And the second application, as I sit down, is Horizon. You're here, with the exception of our visitors today. I don't know if I'm stopped. But I don't know if you've visited or what. But Horizon people, you're here because you are Horizon. Who is committed to being a church you've never settled for keeps pioneering? Before you say yes, let me just give you a warning of what that might include. This means you are committing yourself to, this is not an exhaustive list by any means, taking responsibility for your own relationship with God, your own discipleship with God. Embracing the new, which may mean leaving or changing the old. Increasing commitment to God. Developing more faith. Loving God and others more. Serving to a greater level. Giving financially according to the level God tells you to. And laying our lives down for each other and those who yet don't know Jesus Christ. Stand up with you. I'm not judging anyone that's seated. I just need to see we're real. Yes, I'm in. We are Horizon, we are journey. Okay, let's close our eyes and let's begin to pray. And as I pray, I want you to be talking to God about horizon and where he wants us to go. Because some of you, God's going to give the next bit on the horizon. There's going to be a community group that God's going to tell you need to start or a need we need to meet in this area. Don't rely on the leaders to find it out all the time. So let's begin to pray. I'm just quiet with it while you're there and I pray. Father, we do thank you for calling us out to start Horizon. We thank you that it was your idea and your God thing. And we pray, Father, right now, we commit ourselves as a group of people to always be Horizon. We commit ourselves to be pioneers and not settlers. We commit ourselves to meet the needs of the hungry and of the poor, those with no voice. We commit ourselves to get messy in the lives of people in our borough, but particularly on this estate, of God, to bring change. We look to that horizon and we ask you, God, to drop revelation and understanding into our lives to show us what is on that horizon that we can purposefully, intentionally walk towards. God, as we stand, we are individuals and we commit ourselves to that. And collectively as a church, we pray that you will have free will in our lives. We have license to do whatever that takes in our lives. We pray for an exciting journey. We pray for a fruitful journey. We pray that there are many people in heaven because we've refused to settle and we've gone out and we maybe do things differently or we maybe doing things at an uncomfortable level. But God, we as your people commit to be pioneers and not settlers. And we ask that you, by your Holy Spirit, will bring honour and glory to Jesus, not Horizon, but to Jesus, to the kingdom, expand and increase your kingdom in this area through our lives and our commitment to Horizon. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. So, if God's challenged you today, go talk to him first. Then you may need to speak to someone else to say, hey, you've challenged me about this, will you pray with me? Or can you help me take the next step? But don't come to me and say, what do you think God's telling me to do? So I'm going to say, don't know. Go talk to him. The future is exciting. Challenging, but exciting. Let's carry on that journey. So, there you go.